Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
Like
I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Back out of Daniels with the keep and his first touchdown in the National Football League. Jaden Daniels runs it in from 2 yards out for the touchdown.
I'm not going to lie to you, but that first touchdown when he scored to make it 13-7, that was the second half. That was the one that made it 23-14. The first run of the game for him, which was, 17 yards, something like that, I was up. I was like, go! I mean, how many times did he just take off and turn chicken salad into chicken, you know what, into chicken salad? He was a cheat code in college for LSU, and he tried to do a lot of that yesterday, but they couldn't get off the field defensively. They couldn't stop the other team. I mentioned this earlier. But 7 out of 8 drives to produce points on, that's Big 12 football. That's not the NFL. The defense was horrendous. But it was only one game. And week one, you cannot come to any sort of real conclusions about anything you saw yesterday. We've got Ben Standing. Of course we do. It's 12 o'clock. It's Monday. Ben Standing is our Washington Commanders insider on this show. He'll join us every Monday, Friday, and in between if we need him at 12 noon. Read him at The Athletic. Follow him on Twitter. And, of course, Ben has a podcast that you should listen to called Last Man Standing. So let's do what we do every Monday when we have a real game to talk about. Start off by getting your overall impressions of what you saw. You were there. What'd you think?
Kevin, I was there. Very hot. Fortunately, I have air conditioning in the press box. I think the thing, look, so many of the things that I heard some of your last segment and some of the points you made and callers made, you know, are spot on. Obviously, the secondary concerns are there. We talked about that a lot over the summer. That, to me, ultimately became the number one concern more than, say, the offensive line. The lack of playmakers on offense, certainly another concern, and I think that showed as well. And then just, you know, when you have so many new faces, and most of the starters barely played, if at all, in the preseason. You know, you kind of figured there'd be some, some growing pains for sure. I think the energy lack thereof to some degree, I think, surprised me. Dan Quinn said something about this, though, because after the game, because the one thing that I kept saying was, it does feel like these guys are in a different space mentally with this new staff, this new group, this new era, that they seem to be, you know, having more, I don't say joy, but, like, you know, they just seem to be in a better space, and from that would lead to more energy. And it just didn't quite seem to have that. I'm not saying they weren't trying to play their part and all that. Something didn't seem to be there, and they just never had any consistency with regards to getting any kind of big plays on either side of the ball. You know, you mentioned Jaden's running, and obviously that was electric in spots and fun at others. And other times you're kind of closing your eyes almost to make sure, he's not going to get killed. But I couldn't get as much out of it because it was connected to nothing else. The offense just didn't seem to really be, there just wasn't a lot there. Brian Robinson, I thought, had some really good runs. I think Austin Eckler, had a couple moments, but yeah, there just wasn't enough of a spark there, I thought. And I think for this team to have any chance this season, I told you this last week, or I talked about it last week, it's going to have to be a really tactical job by Cliff Kingsbury on offense, and I think the try-hard aspect on both sides of the ball is going to have to be paramount because they simply don't have enough talent right now. And to a certain degree, by design, again, that would be said 100 times, they're playing more for next year than they are for this year in terms of the building. But I don't know. I was just a little surprised. It seemed to be a little bit lacking. And I guess Dan Quinn said something similar after the game, and I kind of agree.
Yes, I think that's spot on, especially when we heard all along, there was going to be this identity. And one of the things that you were going to notice when you watched us play is that we were going to be fast. We were going to be physical. We were going to compete hard. We were going to play to the whistle. We were going to have energy. I understand it was a brutal day down there, weather-wise. And, you're getting your ass kicked for much of the second half, certainly the fourth quarter. But, yeah, I would imagine he'd go back and say, there are examples of players, playing, with great energy start to finish. But overall, they got thumped and there wasn't a lot of resistance other than the quarterback trying to make plays.
Yeah, no. I mean, look, there weren't a lot of, big hits, and not to get level somebody. I just mean, it just didn't,
Walker had presence. The biggest hit of the game.
Late. And that's the thing, right? Like, again, I expected a certain amount of feeling it out process because of this, only 21 guys back from last year, new staff. They didn't, really do a ton in the preseason. And so on, and yet, at least the energy you thought would have been a little more there. But okay, I don't want to keep dwelling on that. In totality, just all felt a bit off. And I think that result, you mentioned giving up points on 7 of 8 drives. I mean, it's not even just that they gave up points. It'd be one thing if it was like, somebody beat a cornerback deep and they ran 70 yards. It was long, sustaining drives. Tampa Bay had, a time advantage throughout the game, especially in the first half, when Cade York kicks the ball out of bounds, when it's 13-7 after the Robinson touchdown, he kicks it out of bounds and Tampa gets it at the 40. There were 7:17 left on the clock. Washington doesn't get the ball back until 16 seconds are left. Tampa went 13 plays. They kick a field goal. It was kind of as they could sort of choose whatever they wanted to do. I mean, Baker Mayfield actually missed a few throws early, otherwise it could have been a lot worse. And to get just beat up like that, I just thought was a bit concerning. Didn't get a ton of a pass rush. I don't think the offensive line played horribly. I have not had a chance to watch back the game yet, so forgive me if I'm missing something here. But, just defensively, they just, it goes without saying, but you can't get beat up like that. Again, if you're going to give up 60-yard plays, that's one thing. Not good. But that's one thing. But, like, just beat up play after play. Like I said, I was a little surprised the sort of the lack of energy and fortitude that we saw.
Look, it was the number one, you know, thing for me today. I was surprised, honestly, very disappointed at just how brutal they were defensively. It was a game that mirrored many of the games that we watched last year. And I think one of the things that I thought anyway and talked about all offseason is, you know, they've got some improvement with players. Look, you could make the case that Montez Sweat and Kendall Fuller, would have been two of their best four players on defense had they still been on the team, but they're not. I still thought their additions, their veteran additions, the familiarity of the players they brought back, the coaching, the fact that the coaches were going to be engaged, immersed in the season. It's one game, and they played a team that's tough to cover. You know, and the quarterback played at a really high level. But, yeah, it was certainly disappointing and a bit surprising for me on defense. And, you know, they could have had the ball back with much more than 11 seconds to go at the end of the first half. But the coach decided to take a timeout with him into the locker room. So let's start with a couple of players specifically. Forbes, I was trying to keep track of this, and maybe you kept track of it better than I. They pulled him a couple of times. It looked like they pulled him after some, you know, after he got beat, but Sanders still got beat too. Everybody got beat. But Forbes Jr. in particular, what do you think they're thinking, and will they do anything about it come Sunday against the Giants?
Yeah, so, like, I think to go back to last year, and obviously Forbes was a bit of a mess last year. You know, the coaches, I hear we all kind of roll our eyes when we hear things like, hey, you got to marry up the pass rush and the coverage, right? Well, there's a lot of truth to that. And last year, you know, the pass rush, even before they traded away Sweat, you know, was lacking. You know, John Allen, whether he's dinged up or not, you know, didn't have his normal season. Deron Payne certainly didn't have the kind of season he had the year prior, and if those guys aren't getting after it, then it's much harder for the other guys. You know, Cleveland Farrell's a fine player, but he's just kind of a role player. Dante Fowler, the same. Dorrance Armstrong, good player, but, you know, he's not a high-end pass rusher. So if you're not getting that up front with Allen and Payne commanding double teams, and everybody else is going to get one, you know, not going to be able to thrive as easily. Well, so the point is then now you go to the back end. I was hoping to see with Forbes after they played, you know, a summer of vanilla defenses in the preseason games and, you know, okay, let's see what happens here. Can you get more of this pass rush, these exotic blitzes that Dan Quinn and Joe Witt want to do? And then from there, you get your cornerbacks like Forbes who are able to then, like, you know, with the quarterback having to get rid of the ball maybe a little bit quicker, they can jump a passing lane, things like that. Well, obviously Baker Mayfield really was not pressured very often, and that allowed him to sort of pick on the corners as he wanted to, and that's what we saw last year with Forbes, and again now. I don't, you know, look, it is week one. I don't really know what else they could do. Like, let's just even say hypothetically, they were like, boy, that was rough. We need to sit him. Where are they going? Right? I mean, Mike Davis.
Well, the guy they brought in from the Chargers, Davis, was he even out there? Was he was active, right?
He only played on special teams, zero defensive snaps.
Zero. You know, like, so again, he was active. So why not him?
Well, I mean, you know, that was one of the signs that they made. I was kind of like, well, let's see. I don't, you know, is he solid enough? I mean, my concern was if you're going to, I understood why they let Kendall Fuller go. But if you're going to bring in a vet, there has to be somebody that you would feel comfortable with starting if Forbes is not able to recover, right? And I don't know that this guy was that guy. Again, it's week one. We'll see. But they clearly didn't think so either. Otherwise, he would have been out there. They did use four cornerbacks on at least 45% of the snaps, but it was Noah Igbinoghi getting a lot, and he was viewed more of as a slot guy. So that was interesting. But yeah, I just think this is the problem. I don't think they have a lot of places to turn. And you know, again, when you're rebuilding a roster, you're going to be weaker in some spots. But that was an area where it just was, you know, screaming bright lights. You got to get more here. And yeah, they did bring in Sanders still. You know, I still think that's looks promising to me, but, you know, he is more of a slot guy. They didn't help the outside a ton, so I think that's a problem. And even if, like I said, even if they're down on Forbes, and we'll see what Dan Quinn says later today, I don't know where else they're going. There's just not really any other options to say, yeah, go ahead and, you know, this will feel a lot better going this way.
You know, you said something that is so true, and you said, you know, we just kind of all take that or roll our eyes or whatever, but you know, pass defense includes pass rush, and it's got to be coordinated with the back end. And I actually, and I talked about this a little bit, I actually thought they got some pressure at times. I'll be interested to see what kind of rate in which they got pressure on Mayfield. They just did what they seemed to have been doing the last few years. They didn't finish. They didn't get him to the ground. And then the other part of it was, other than St. Juice, it just seemed like everybody else was confused a lot. You know, we heard communication, and they're really you know, I walk in, when I hear, you know, defensive players talking, and look, every sport, defense is about talking and the communication, but they really didn't seem to be communicating well. That's for them to answer definitively, but there seemed to be a ton of confusion on the back end. And so if you're not getting home, even if you're getting some pressure, then it's really problematic against Evans, Godwin, and the group they had.
Yeah, no, totally. I mean, again, like Baker Mayfield on the, I think it was the first drive or first two drives, easily could have had two touchdowns that they didn't get, or at least some big plays. They overthrew guys because of just some lapses or broken coverage or what have you. And, yeah, it just really never stopped. And, yeah, it was very concerning, I would say, it because you're right. I mean, it's one thing, okay, fine, the pass rush isn't there. Cornerbacks, even the best cornerbacks, can only hang on for so long. But this was something else. This was a different thing. And, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, look, again, I'm one of the people who is saying that I'm not as worried about what this season's roster looks like. But at the same time, when you're telling me when like, going into training camp, or, you know, like, okay, so if all goes right, Benjamin St. Juice is like the number one corner. I'm not saying that's like he's like can't play, and, you know, he was there for the Mike Evans on that Mike Evans touchdown, but he just turned the wrong way or didn't see the ball, which is, you know, kind of one of his bugaboos. But you can't tell me that's the plan. Like, where are your other options? It's the same thing I have with like the offensive line. If you tell me you've got to go with Lucas and Wiley and the third round pick, okay, I get it, but can't you do better than a guy like Trent Scott if you need to go somewhere else? That seems to be like a reasonable thing you could do if you're not going to spend a ton of money elsewhere. And same thing at corner. It just feels like, okay, if you want to see what St. Juice and Forbes do and you're going to draft somebody, fine, but what else do you have? And, the depth is concerning at those spots because, like I said, it would be nice to say, hey, well, why don't you try this, but I still don't know what else they can do in a couple cases.
By the way, I'm looking at the snap counts now because I was curious how much, if any, that Brandon Coleman played. He did play. He played 14 snaps, and Lucas had 45 of the snaps. Trent Scott was in there, but I think that's when they had extra lineman where he was eligible as a tight end. We're talking to Ben Standig. Kicker, what are they going to do tomorrow?
Okay, they're going to have a lawsuit there.
Kicker, what are they going to do?
Well, I mean, I would be stunned, I think, if there's not a few guys coming to camp this week to, you know, try out or what have you. Dan Quinn was asked directly about this yesterday, and he didn't say, no, we're fine. He's like, yeah, we're going to have to talk about that and see where we're at. I mean, look, the deal that they made for Cade York was for a conditional seventh. I believe the deal is he's got to play a couple of games in order to for that seven to go back. I don't know why I would rush, why I would just say, nah, let's just give up the seven for what we've seen. The two kicks were long, but that's, you know, his strength of leg is one of his one of the strengths of his game. But then to kick the ball out of bounds like that, you know, right after you got a touchdown, to get a little bit of momentum, that was tough. There's got to be something else out there that they can try. So at a minimum, I can't imagine they won't have other guys show up this week in practice.
Wide receivers. McCaffrey was out there more than De'Ami Brown. We were wondering, you know, who would play and who'd be on the field. You know, we suggested on Friday, and I think we saw this, that when they went empty set, you'd see one of the backs, if not both of them, split out wide. But they obviously, during the summer and during preseason, liked McCaffrey enough, they knew they were going to play him a lot in the opener.
Yeah, so I was thinking about this in a couple different ways. McCaffrey was one. Another one was when they had on the first kickoff, at least, Jeremy McNichols and Tyler Owens back there. Look, I was at pretty much every single practice, and, you know, I don't really know how many times I was seeing McCaffrey run. Like, they were rotating players, I grant you that, but, like, I don't know how often I was seeing McCaffrey run with the ones consistently, and, like, in the kick returns, if you tell me McNichols and Owens did that during camp, I'll believe you because they had so many guys, but it's not like it was a staple. I almost wonder if they like were overthinking things a little bit here.
I thought it was McNichols and Eckler. You're telling me Tyler Owens was back there as one of the two?
Well, maybe I'm wrong. Was it? I thought it wasn't Owens. I thought it was. Maybe I'm wrong.
I thought it was McNichols and Eckler. I could be wrong. I'll check it out.
I could be wrong too. But you know, so put that part aside. I mean, like I said, even like the part with like Mike Davis, like. I don't know. I wonder if they sort of like overthought a few things here in terms of when to use guys. Look, I think McCaffrey, of the receivers they have not named Terry McLaurin, he's the guy who has got the higher ceiling. We don't quite know where he could go here. He's only, he was only a receiver for his last 2 years in college, et cetera. So maybe there's more to it. But right now, boy, it just kind of feels like it's sort of thrusting him into a scenario that I don't know that he's ready for. Of course, the issue is I don't know that their other receivers we talked about this before. This is where Kingsbury is going to have to be really tactical with what he does because none of these other guys really have like multiple skills at a pretty high level to say, yeah, we can deploy this guy all the time. I actually think Noah Brown, this game says to me that when Noah Brown is ready, he obviously hadn't been with the team very long. I presume that's why he was inactive. He's got a real chance to get a lot of snaps because at a minimum he's big, he's a blocker, and we saw last some games where he was like a legit playmaker. Not a ton, but there was a couple where he was really getting it done. And they don't, right now they just don't have anything close to that. Again, I'm not saying Noah Brown's all that. He was just cut by Houston, but that is a huge problem. And I heard one of your callers say earlier, and I completely agree. They've got to figure out a way to get Robinson and Eckler.
Your phone's breaking up a little bit for us, but your last point, and we'll let you run, is just got to figure out how to get Brian Robinson and Eckler on the field. They're clearly among your best four, probably your best three playmakers on offense. Do we have you back?
I'm here.
Yeah, I got you back. Yeah. Okay. They were out there a lot. I'm looking at the snap counts right now to see exactly.
They were kind of even. Like Robinson had like two or three more, but they were basically about the same.
Yep. Yeah. And in terms of skill position players, Terry, Ertz, McCaffrey, and Brown were out there more. That was it. They were out there more than Zacchaeus was. I mean, look, they had a lot of, run based kind of sets where it was, whether it was option runs or designed runs, that's where they were. There was an odd formation with the two of them basically stacked on top of each other, standing next to Jaden, and they went with this inside handoff to Robinson. So there's a lot of that. Look, it's going to take some time on that front. I wasn't like blown away by anything Kingsbury did. I don't know if they had a great plan for the protection. I also thought Jaden could have gotten rid of it once or twice rather than bailed and taken off. But we'll see. Thanks. You back or are you about to fly back?
No, I am back. I am driving home as we speak. So looking forward to seeing my house and then turning on the tape and seeing what happens.
All right. Ben Standing, everybody. Thanks, Ben. Appreciate it. We'll go around the NFL when we come back. Kevin Sheehan.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Show the Team 980, the Team980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.